candidate to be in the nation. So, for example, the value of life, the sacredness of life is a Christian idea. Kindness as a cultural value is a Christian idea. I have a friend who runs an orphanage in Kenya, and he had pointed out something interesting about the culture, that if you break down on the side of the road in Kenya, nobody will stop to help you unless you're going to pay them. And that's an interesting observation, but it's an observation of a culture that hasn't been steeped in the history of Christian thought. Because again, for us in Canada, if somebody's broken down and you have any capacity to help them, you're probably going to stop if there's a situation where you can help. Why? Are we just nice people? Well, we are kind of famous for being nice people as Canadians. But why? What makes us have that as a value? What is the germ? What is the center of this notion that we are a people who are kind? Because it's not based upon our good nature. How many of you know that we all are sinners by birth? We are not good in and of ourselves. And that's one of the problems that the Western nations has kind of struggled with, is that we think in our own kind of myopic view of the world that, well, everybody looks at things the way we look at things. Everybody looks upon the value of life or the need for love or kindness or compassion or charity, and they all look at it much the same way we do. And for those of you who've traveled to other countries, do they? They don't. They have very different views from very different places, from cultural beliefs and from religious beliefs, and that makes some clear distinctions in the way that things are handled. So in Matthew 5, Jesus tells the listeners that they are the salt of the earth. And this morning I want to drill down that idea together. In biblical times, salt was regarded as a necessary ingredient in daily food. Because of this, salt also became part of all of the sacrifices that were offered to God. It was naturally a small step in the minds of the people to closely connect the idea of salt and covenant making. In the tradition of that time, when men ate together, they became friends. This is the reason for the Arabic expressions such as, there is salt between us, or he has eaten of my salt. And this meant that partaking in somebody's hospitality, sitting at their table, formed a friendship, formed a bond. Once you'd eaten with someone, it was considered to have solidified a friendship and peace. Ezra 4:14 says that, refers to eating the salt in the palace in reference to establishing that loyalty. Covenants were generally confirmed by sacrificial meals, and salt was always present there as well. Since salt is also a preservative, it would easily become symbolic of an enduring covenant. So offerings to Yahweh were to be a statute forever. Numbers 18:19 speaks of a covenant of salt forever before Yahweh. In 2 Chronicles 13:15, David received his kingdom forever from Yahweh by a covenant of salt. From all of this, it's plain to see that salt, as referred to in the scripture, is more than a simple substance that we take for granted. And knowing this, we're forced to pay a little bit more attention when Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. Knowing the significance of salt in the scriptures, we have to look at things as believers with a bit of a different tinge as we talk about salt, as we talk about life. So believers are essentially the salt of the covenant. The fact that we exist as the church, the fact that we are here as believers, is a picture of the goodness of God and is a picture of the truth of his covenant with us. Believers are forgiven and redeemed, and we are the salt of Christ's covenant on the earth. Our presence here is evidence of God's grace. The fact that believers are here in the world are evidence of the grace of God. The fact that we walk on this planet, that the church still exists, is evidence of the grace of God. Because as long as we are still here, the judgment of God doesn't fall. Right? Because where do we go from here? Assuming that we survive till the end of it. Judy gave me a thumbs up. Up, right? Right? How many of you have heard of the idea of the rapture? The idea that we're going to be taken at some point. If we live long enough, you live long enough to not die, but to be taken. And when the world loses its believers, what do you think it's going to look like? How will things change? And again, that's a powerful image. So the image of us as the salt of the earth, as the salt of this world, we are this picture and representation of God's grace. Do you know, on a physical level, we each have about 8 ounces of salt in our bodies. And salt is vital in regulating muscle contraction and heartbeat, nerve impulse transmission, protein digestion, and the exchange of water between cells as we bring food in and waste out. All that to say this, believers perform this role in the world. We have an incredible and powerful position in the world as representatives of the kingdom. The impact that we have always struck outside of our weight class, that's a reference to sport. You know, it's like we have always hit way beyond what we are capable of because of who we represent and who we are powered by. I mean, think of the things that have happened that have been positive in our nation's history. You look at the United States, when the United States ended slavery through the war that they went through, and when the British patrolled the seas after that. There was all kinds of things going on, but the only thing that brought them to the point of recognizing that slavery, which was a universal norm all throughout history, the only thing that brought them to recognizing that as an evil was Christianity. It was the recognition of the sovereign individual, of the sanctity of life, and of the creation of God in each individual. Again, we are the salt in the world that makes huge difference. We do constantly. And folks, one of the things I want to encourage and remind us as we look at this morning, be salty. Be salty. Like, we're not called as believers to be inoffensive. We're called to be loving. Are you called to not tell hard truths? What are you called to? Speak the truth with love. Right? So again, I encourage you, believer, be salty. Speak the truth and speak it with love. But don't be shy in speaking the truth. One of the things that our recent history has pushed upon us as a culture is a fear of saying true things that might not be polite. When the truth needs to be spoken, and we need to be a people who are willing to be salty. One of the interesting things is that you can never run out of salt. Do you know they've tried to kill off Christianity? They've tried to get rid of the church. You know, whether it was the communists here or the socialists there, they tried to rid the world of Christianity. In reality, though, the oceans contain enough salt to cover the world 14 inches deep. And Christianity cannot be persecuted out of existence. It can't be forgotten or discarded. You know what happens to the church when we get persecuted? It gets stronger. It's like, literally, the attempt of the devil is to destroy the church, and the response of the church through the grace of God is that the church gets better. The church gets stronger. We become more faithful. And that's a beautiful, powerful thing. How many of us welcome struggle? Not a hand. How many of you recognize that in your own walk with Christ, some of the sweetest times that you've had have been in those times where you have struggled and where you have needed to reach out to Him? We are human, and some of the strongest praying we do is when we're outside the principal's door, back when the principal still give you a beating. You're all old enough to remember that, right? And again, we move towards God, and we look to Him, and we reach for Him when we recognize our need more clearly. But Christianity can't be pushed off, can't be ignored. The truth of Christ cannot be hidden. It cannot be crushed. We are that salt, and we're called to be that boldly. How many of you are willing to be bold for your faith? We get to be rebels now, hey? You know what rebels are today? Rebels today are people who believe the things that the scripture says. We're not pro this. We're not celebrating that. We're not believing that nonsense. Most of us aren't covered in tattoos. We're the modern rebels. We believe in what God has said about marriage. We believe in what God has said about man and about women. We are the modern rebels. It's just that not rather than the old Marlon Brando rebel without a cause, we are the rebels with a cause. Our call is to be salty, but not because of our preference, not because of our tendencies or desires, but because of his truth. Scripture finishes off at the end of that little section. It says that salt without flavor is something that is without any kind of use. In fact, it is an insult in some sense. Because if we are believers without the truth of Christ flourishing in us, without the truth expressed, we're worse than useless. Because it's like being a water fountain that produces no water. We cannot be that. We must consistently move towards being the salt of the earth. Because scripture makes the point that salt loses its taste. How shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Folks, the world wants you to shut up. And in Canada, the twist has been not just shut up, but be polite. And that speaks to something deep in the heart of Canadians, doesn't it? Because we are a very polite people. I say we, I'm Irish, you're Canadian. I'm not polite. I recognize you are, right? So that it speaks to something kind of deep in our hearts. And what I'm saying to you is that we as believers have to be willing to even step over that. And to be willing to speak the truth in love, but to speak the truth and to be salty where we should be, because the world desperately needs it. Let's touch on theology without balance. Poor understanding or imbalance in the believer ends us in a place that is not good. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world." You know, we end up in a place that is unhealthy and that is dangerous when we are kind of vaguely aware of what the Bible says about things. Right? So then when someone, because again, this is part of the stop being salty campaign that the world has put on us, that says, "The Bible says do not judge." And they quote that to us. We're like, "It's our Bible, sir." But they quote that to us. And what they're trying to usually say is, "So shut up." But what else does the Bible say about judging? Yeah. But the Bible doesn't say in context, "Don't judge, full stop, never, ever." It says, "Judge properly." It says, "Judge properly." We're not called to be a people without judgment. We are called to be a people with good judgment. Who defines the good? God, his word, his truth. Again, we are to be, as believers, people who dig in and who understand and who seek his truth. Have questions? Get answers. Look. Dig. Like, it's easier today than it ever has been. How many of you fiddle with AI? That thing can look up scriptures for you real quick. Whether it's for the devil or not, does a good job, better than Google. We must be willing to dig in and to understand so that we cannot be unbalanced by the world quoting the scripture back to us. Again, when the devil was testing Jesus, what did he quote? He quoted scripture. When the world is testing believers and is trying to get us off of the truth and is trying to get us to step back, it's the same as in the garden. Do you remember what the serpent said to Eve? Did God really say? Exactly. What does the culture say to the church? Did God really say? Did he say that we should have discernment and judgment? Did he say that we should speak hard truths? Did he say that we should be salty? Again, we need to be a people who are willing to stand on the truth of God and be that salt in the world. I love details. I can't talk about salt without digging into salt a bit. Do you know that salt is made up of two elements, sodium and chlorine? And do you know that either one of these, in the absence of the other, will cause problems? Sodium will explode, and chlorine will poison you. You know, being kind of salt is a problem. It's like, well, I'm not sure about this whole being the salt of the earth thing. It might annoy people. Okay. But you can't be partially salt. You can't be kind of salt. You might end up in a place where you're causing different problems. Again, you might end up explosive or poisonous. We're called to be the salt, not bits and pieces of it. We're called to be people of the truth, not the parts that you like. Who caught that? Not the parts that you like. How many of you realize that we all have our own particular picadillos when it comes to preferences for sin? Yes. Some of us are okay with this, that, and the other, and some of us think that that's kind of an attractive sin, in fact. And you know what I constantly have said to the church over the years? One of the things that is comforting to us is that what your preferences or opinion is, what your flesh hungers or thirsts for, is irrelevant. You're not called to have an opinion on sin. You're called to have the biblical standard on sin. I don't care if it's comfortable or if it's something that's appealing. We are called to be a people who stand on the truth of the Word of God. We're called to be a people who are willing to even sacrifice some of our own desires, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. What are you carrying? What are we carrying? The flesh. What are we carrying? The flesh's desires. I would prefer not to tell people what God has said about this, that, and the other, just left to my own devices. I can argue with people without even quoting scripture. I could just start it fine. Like, I don't need to quote the truth of people who don't want to hear it, but I'm called to speak the truth. You know, my mother, while we're on the topic, my mother, Louise Coyle, named Louise, got her name off of my mother, was a wonderful, loving, godly woman who had musical Tourette's in my mind, which meant that she'd break into song at any given moment regarding a statement you made. I called it musical Tourette's. But my mother was also a woman of God who would quote the scripture at me all the time. And it annoyed the life out of me. Because I was a teenager while she was doing this. And teenagers are universally jerks. Most of the time, let's be honest. And I didn't appreciate it. I'm sure I probably told her to stop it. But my mother was salty. And she just would tell us the truth. Sometimes in song. She just would. She was lovely. She was wonderful. And annoying. And great. Folks, it is so much more important that we are the salt of the earth than it is that we are always pleasant or popular or appealing. Some of us aren't even good at being appealing just in general. I got friends. This is not a side. I've got friends who have wonderful, lovely, friendly personalities. I mean, people just want to be around them. And I'm in awe of that. Because I always kept, the joke to me is, and it's consistent, is like, you ever seen a crowbar that they use to do like train tracks, the big long crowbars, the big 5 foot ones? Big heavy ones. That's my personality. I'm a big, clunky, heavy crowbar. But let me tell you, if you need a big, clunky, heavy crowbar, it's the only thing that's going to work. But in general, I'm not that appealing, pleasant. So, like, I may as well be the salt as best that I could be, because I'm not winning any contests anyway. But folks, we are called regardless of our way of being, our way of acting, our preferences, to speak the truth with love, whether it's going to make us popular or not, amen? The flavor in salt is God. That's something we need to recognize. Why be salty? Because the flavor in salt is us reflecting Him. When we speak the truth with love, we're speaking about food. When the scripture says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come to the Father but by me. We speak the truth, we speak of Christ. You see that in the culture. People who are desperately seeking the truth eventually end up at the foot of the cross. So you may not always be quoting scriptures to an angry teenager, but as you speak that truth and you stand on that truth, you speak about the flavor of who God is. And when we add chemicals to that through our preferences and religion, salt can become harmful in that way, but we're called to be a people of faith, of love. We're called to be a people who are bold. Again, bold. That's a challenge. Most of us are trying not to be overly nice all the time, but we're called to be bold. How many of you are down with being bold? Not a lot. I didn't get a hand or a tiger raised or nothing. We're called to be bold. Not because we are cantankerous. Although maybe as you get older, you get the right. Like, you know, that's always a joke. He's a grumpy old dude. It's like, maybe you've earned the right. But again, for what? Like, we're called to be the people who are willing to be the salt, even though it may rub people wrong at times. Let's talk about the hallmark of the salt of the earth. What is the hallmarks of being salt of the earth? It's first and foremost, it's a desire for the things of God, His ways, His will, His glory, His truth. Again, not that we can be religious people, but we can be the people who seek and follow after God. I don't care what other Christians think of me in terms of me keeping some kind of perfect reputation. I care about what the world sees in me. Because we can pick each other apart as churches at times, right? Because we all have different views about this, that, or t'other. Remember back in the day, playing cards were bad, and pool halls were bad, and music, you know, cinemas were dangerous, and you can't dance because that leads to cuddling, and cuddling could lead to bad. You know, it's like, again, we've had different notions in and out as far as the church goes, so we can't really be overly concerned about that. We have to stick to the biblical standard, not the religious notions. And we have to look to God and His ways consistently. And not to be rebellious to the leadership, we have to be under leadership in the church, but again, our desire has to be that we are salt to the world. Because I don't need to be all that salty for you. We're all called to be salty. We're all called to encourage each other. We're all called to stand in the truth together. Where I'm going to be noticed and where I should be noticed is in the world, and where His flavor should be noticed is through me in the world. Matthew 6:32 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. First, I need to be looking to Him in my life. Some of the other things that are going to be indicative of our saltiness as believers is we're going to see unity. Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how do you make the salt salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. We are called to be a people of unity. Not just the people who attend church together, but a people who stand together. A people who support one another, people who love and care for one another. You know, to be there for our wins, but also for our losses, to be there at bedsides in hospitals, and to be there through the joys of birth and newness. It's easy to be there for the birth and the newness, because like babies are pretty awesome. And like, if you're a good close church, you get to pass them around. I used to, when Kieran was small, he's 13 now, because Kieran was the friendliest little kid and smiled at everybody. I would walk past someone in church sometimes and go, here, hold this. And Gideon was content. He was happy. But again, we as believers need to be there and to stand with each other through some of the difficult, heavy things as well as the light and the beautiful things. Because the unity that we show in that touches the world. Unity is a rarity in the world. Because we don't even talk about unity. What are we talking about in the culture? Diversity is our strength. Well, it's not. Unity is our strength. Unity is our strength. Regardless of color or creed or anything else, unity is our strength. And lastly, we should be, as a people who are the salt of the world, the salt of the earth, we should be a people who show His love primarily to one another, but also pouring out from there as well. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new covenant I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. Again, the love that we exchange within the church, the familial bond that we share in the church, impacts the world. Because they see something special, something powerful in that. Because what's the difference between us as a church and a social group of another kind? Again, what is the difference if it isn't the love of God, if it isn't the love that we are called to share amongst ourselves? The fact that we are in and around each other's lives. We're called to be there in the, always like the, you know, the mud and the blood and the beer, but I don't know what the beer is in the Christian Bible. But we're called to be there for each other, to be in and to stand with and to support and to encourage. That's what people are going to see in us. They're going to see that love and that unity. In closing this morning, it is our responsibility to be salt. It is our challenge to not allow religion or error or indifference to damage the flavor of our faith. We must strive to evidence the God we serve in all that we say and in all that we do. In this, our witness will be pleasing to men and our service will be pleasing to God. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person, speaking the truth with love. And James 3:11-12 says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Church, we are to be in the world and not of it. That means that we're going to be different from it in lots of different ways. Not for the sake of difference. Like, we're not goth teenagers. Who, remember the goth teenagers? Dressing up in black, back to the other, back to, because they're all different but the same. We're not called to be different just for the sake of difference. But we're called to be different because we are His. We're in the world and not of it. We're called to be different because it represents who He is. And the truth is, folks, is that we as believers need to accept the truth that some people don't and won't like salt. But we're called not to be popular or approved. We're called not to be acceptable to the world. And there's been a history recently where the church was acceptable in the Western world. It was a good thing. And we've gone almost full tilt in the other direction. But we're getting to the point, how long before we start seeing believers in prison for their beliefs, that we're getting there. Again, folks, you're not going to be popular as a believer, but you can be a rebel with a cause. I'm calling you to rebellion. Don't need to get any tattoos or wear leather, though. I'm calling you to rebellion that carries the word of God. We are to be His salt. Folks, we are called to be His. And I encourage you and I challenge you this morning to this day choose to be His more clearly and more closely. choose to walk with him more consistently and choose that his eyes upon you are the only eyes that will eventually matter and that matter in this time. Amen. Amen. Worship team. You're most welcome. Bless you.
The beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. That's the love of Christ that he displayed for us. That's why he came. Let's stand as we sing for the beauty of the earth.
Father, I pray this morning as we look into this Christmas season that we would be more of what you want and expect in us, that we would walk more in a way that would reflect you. Father, I pray your blessing upon this people, this family, this church this morning. I pray your healing. Father, I pray your health. Father, I pray your sustained touch. And we pray all this in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus. And they all said,
Amen.
The benediction is from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful Sunday.